This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Welcome to Ramadan Reset with me, your host, Lauren Booth. This podcast series is sponsored by watan.org.uk, delivering services to Syrians in need.
Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah Ta'ala bless you. It's a great, great honor to have you here today.
Wa alaikum assalam, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace be with you. Alhamdulillah, family's good. It's like everywhere else, lockdown, but everybody's doing great. Alhamdulillah. Fasting is going great. Fasting is something that we look forward to. Alhamdulillah, it's that spiritual boot camp that we're all a part of now. So it's here, and alhamdulillah, we're happy for it.
So talk to me a little bit about the changes in your life, Eddie, and your first Ramadan after you changed from being, you know, a street kid with a bit of a reputation to this kind of strict fasting.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah. It just goes back to the whole beauty of Islam. And Islam simply, as you know, I always like to define words because you never know who's listening. So Islam is to, because everybody at one point in their life, they have to make a conscious decision, or they're making conscious decisions or unconscious decisions to submit to something. They're either submitting to their desires, to money, to fame, to their own ideas. But as Muslims, we submit our whole selves entirely. We strive to submit to the creator of the heavens and the earth. So it gives you now, by doing that, you have a game plan. You understand that it's impossible for you to play the lot. We don't gamble, obviously, but just striking an example that if somebody was just, because we use logic, and we also we know that if somebody was to, it's humanly impossible to play the lotto, for instance, every day for 30 days, you know, and win. That'd be impossible. But it's more impossible for this whole creation and everything in it to create itself. So we're doing something that is just natural. We're not covering up the fitra, what we call it, the natural inclination to submit to our creator, the one and only. And then now it's just illogical that he would not have purpose for us and a game plan for us, a blueprint for life. And now we have that blueprint for life. And fasting is just one of those things. And it's there to help us to gain more consciousness of the creator. And it's something that's in the tradition from all the messengers that were sent. They all came with the same message: worship the creator, not the creation, be morally upright, do good deeds, follow that messenger that was sent for you. If you were living during the time of Jesus, you would have to obey him, not worship him, and worship the one God. Moses at his time, he was the messenger. Abraham at his time, and Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, is the final messenger. They all fasted also. So we're continuing that legacy. It's that legacy. And what's amazing about fasting is, amongst other things, you see people, there's a lot of bullies out there. So you see people bullying the Muslims, you know, oh, why are you women, you know, wearing hijab, covering up? But now we got this pandemic. Everybody's almost like wearing niqab, right? They're forcing it on the people. Why are you guys not drinking alcohol? Why you can't? I mean, we come to know that, look, we don't have to play guesswork and see if it's good or it's not. You know, they just had a new study that came out not too long ago that every 10 seconds, someone is dying from alcohol. And now the new study is that even a little bit, no amount of alcohol is good for you. So alhamdulillah, the game plan tells us, look, the blueprint tells us, because it's from the divine, no guesswork. Also now fasting is something that, alhamdulillah, we don't do it for the health benefits, but now you have so many people that are talking about intermittent fasting for health and cancer and all these things. But now we get the best of both worlds. So, and that's all because we came to this deen sincerely. We looked at the evidence, and now we can go ahead and trust in our creator and benefit from the spiritual benefits and from the health benefits that are all there in this deen. It's a full package. Everything for life that we need is in the deen. We just got to get grounded in it, trust in Allah, and just go ahead and implement it to the best of our ability.
SubhanAllah. How do we communicate the joy of self-control in a society that lionizes do what you want when you want, particularly America, I think?
Well, that's interesting you say that, because look, we know that, look, when you have the game plan, I mean, when you have purpose in life, when you're living your life according to not your whims and desires, but according to how your creator wants you to live, now you have everything laid out. You don't, there's not that void in your heart. And we see that here in the States, we are in America, we're 5% of the world's population, but the people, they end up consuming 80% of the world's cocaine. Can you imagine?
Really?
30 plus more percent of people are on prescription drugs. I mean, on painkillers and Prozac and whatnot. And now you have also, during this lockdown, people now would usually would go to the pub. They'd go to release, to the pubs, to the nightclubs. Weekend would come. They can't do that now. So you see, people are having to deal with all this pressure. You see, suicide is on the rise because people have lived for money. They live for their job, and everything's just vanishing in front of their eyes. So now you see suicide is just on the rise, domestic abuse, all of these things. But Islam helps us. Again, we are human beings. We also have feelings. We have ups and downs, tribulations. But look, Islam gives us the coping mechanisms. It gives us the antidote to all of these ills, so we don't become part of the statistics. We become part of the solution. So that's why it's important that we try to show Islam, live Islam, and communicate this message. And people have given that's the thing that amazes me. I mean, people have tried everything. They put earrings here, there, everywhere, tattoo everywhere. You know, you can see people are unhappy. When you go to a boot camp, it's intense. It's for a shorter amount of time, and it's supposed to produce more the most amount of results in this short amount of time. And you're supposed to develop certain patterns, certain habits in that boot camp. So they push you to the fullest, to the max now. So this is what we're coming into. You have, again, because you're a Muslim doesn't mean that you're not prone to make errors and mistakes. So you might have some Muslims lighting up cigarettes. You might have some Muslims going to the club still, drinking or whatnot. I mean, we're human beings. So Islam is perfect. Muslims are the human beings who are trying to live Islam. If the more they're living Islam, the more they're grounded in it, the more they're going to be away from these vices. So now the Ramadan is there to help. It's amazing because even you have psychologists and experts say that, you know, in order for a habit to develop, you need a certain amount of time, you know, 3 to 4 weeks plus. So this is right there. No guesswork. You have a month now to go ahead and implement certain things. You might utter sometimes curse words. You might be prone to, there's no such thing in Islam, white lie, black lights, all a lie. So if you're saying things with your tongue that you shouldn't be saying, now you want your fast to be accepted because it doesn't matter if you're fasting from food, but you're not refraining from slandering people, from gossiping, from saying bad words, curse words, etc. You're going to lose your fast. So any person who's grounded in their deen, they know that. So now in this boot camp, the spiritual boot camp, you're trying to raise up to get to another spiritual level, to get closer to your maker, to your creator, to God Almighty Allah. So you want to please him. You want to get the most benefit and reward. So now you're striving hard to stay away from all these vices to the best of your ability. So your fast will be accepted. You get the tremendous reward. And inshallah, you can come out of this boot camp, of this Ramadan, where now you've left off. You came in a certain way. You're going to leave, inshallah, better. And now you're more tuned to go ahead and deal with the rest of life's journey that goes on from here. And you don't want to end up losing out on all this great opportunity and reward. And that's one of the things about signs of your Ramadan being accepted, is if you come in and you leave better now from this Ramadan.
So I wonder, on a personal note, Brother Eddie, what do you need from this Ramadan? What did you want to reset in either your family life or in yourself? And perhaps, you know, as Muslims, we have a slightly different take on Corona and this plague that has been sent down, because, you know, the pubs are closed, the bars are closed. People can't get the things that they wanted to fill ourselves. I was out today for the first time in 4 days in Istanbul, and all of the clothes shops are shut. All of the clothes shops that were so important before, everybody would have been already probably focused on their Eid outfits, let alone everybody else wanting to go to clubs and wanting to get the fast fashion. Now, none of those matters. What matters is, where are you going to get your dates? Where are you going to get your water? We're back to basics. What do you feel about that?
It's amazing that from something that now, in just a matter of a short amount of time, how everything can go ahead and just change life just as we know it, just in a matter of moments, everything is changed. And from something you can't even see. So it's ironic. I was thinking about this. I was like, wow, for the people who are also crying, like you said, you know, crying for help. A lot of times they cover up what's naturally in them. And then they call themselves atheism or agnostic. And now, because they cannot see their creator, they cannot, but now they've relied on certain testimony because they nobody. And I've heard the argument that you can see the corona under a microscope. But how many of us have a microscope in the back of our pocket? How many are actually, you know, going in to the lab and looking at it? No, you relied on testimony. Somebody testified that this is it, and that's how it is. But we have more people that are deserving of following and believing is that these messengers that God Almighty sent, who are the most honest, the most trustworthy, and they all came with the same message. So now with this coronavirus, it's also in another aspect, we look for the good in situations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it easy. I mean, he's made it where now you can go ahead and because work has been shut off, many people make the excuse, even a lot of Muslims that, how am I going to provide for my family, this, that, and the other. They're so busy that they can't open up the Quran. You know, they don't have time for seeking knowledge. What's the excuse now? So now you have the opportunity, perfect opportunity, because you're isolated, you're at home. If we lose this opportunity, it's going to be a big mistake. Same thing with our brothers, let's say, we'll start with them first, who just, you know, they were just really vigilant about getting to the clubs. You know, they were just like, this was on their mind, just going out or whatnot. It's a sad reality, but it's a reality. It's closed now. The clubs are closed. We're being entertained from every avenue. So those doors are closed. Some of our sisters who we love dearly, our sisters in the deen, some are very scared. And it's scary sometimes worrying about what other people are going to say, what they're going to think. And now they were kind of like worried about, let's say, taking it to the next level, right? She's working out, he's working on their character. So important in the deen to work on your character. But also Allah has other things that we have to implement. Hijab is one of them. So now we've been scared. Oh, what's he going to say? What's she going to say? Allah moved the whole world for you. Mm. Look at that. Now nobody, I actually, when I went out, I was just trying. I was putting on my, you know, the thing. I was like, this kind of cool.
You're going to say your niqab. Yeah.
I was just putting on, you know, but no one's going to, if you're wearing hijab, niqab, it's like now people are not focused on that. Now it's like, it's a totally different environment. It's something that I feel like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has moved the world for you so that you can go ahead and benefit from these things now in a way. And you can really think that another thing is there's a beautiful, when Noah, alayhi salam, Noah, one of the messengers of Allah, when he was asked, he lived 950 years. And he was asked, how do you see this life? He said, I saw this life like a house with two doors. I came in one and I exited the other. That's this life. So now death is just the mainstream media just pumping fear into the people. And this is, you know, in and of itself can kill you. But the one thing is that now death is something that, I mean, it should wake up. You know, there's a hadith attributed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said that the intelligent person is the one who thinks about death, right? So you think about the reality of this life, that it can end at any time. I can die tomorrow. What's my purpose? Why am I here? You have it laid out for you. Now is a good time during this pandemic. I just interviewed a professional fighter who said that because of this coronavirus, he ended up coming to Islam. Exactly why? Because what we're talking about, because now everything calmed down, meaning that now he just was like forced to go back to thinking. The isolation got him to thinking. That's why we have more people in prisons accepting Islam, because again, they're and isolated, and now they get to think, they get to ponder. The rat race of life just takes people away. All the entertainment out there, everything, the rat race gets people, you know, more consumed with materialism. But now it should be a time where you should really ponder and think, what's my purpose in life? Where am I going when I die? You know, if I'm Muslim here, you already have the purpose, get to know it, really get grounded in it. It's simple to understand and start really living it to your full potential. So take advantage of the double opportunity where you have the coronavirus lockdown and also now you have Ramadan. So you can go ahead and get the best of both, inshallah. You have where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had talked about if a person has food for the day, has safety and security and a roof over their head, that they're the richest person in the world. But many of us take that for granted. And because other people like who we're talking about now in these places, they don't have that security. You got bombs falling in many of these places. People scared if someone's going to intrude and come through their house and attack them. in many places, and it's, and then also food. Food is also something that now we have, but our brothers and sisters in these places, they don't. They expected to get paid. They expected to travel, but all of that was cut off. Everything was stopped. Now you don't even know what can happen next. Don't think that now tomorrow the situation, this just might be the start of it. You just don't know. Food can cut off. You don't know. So we need to be grateful and thankful. And this is our way to give back to those who are in that situation where they didn't know. They didn't think that they were going to be in this situation. They also had plans. They also had ambitions. But now you see what has happened. Yeah, I think it just naturally affects us, all of us. It affects because you're in the environment. There are things that you don't want to see. You see, there are things that you hear. There are things that that affect us, and it affects the heart. Goes through the eyes, through the ears, and it comes inside to the heart. And that's why it's just a constant, like trying to cleanse the heart. And I can imagine, just because every time a person sins, there's a black spot left on that person's heart. And then the remembrance of Allah, the remembrance of death, is supposed to polish the heart. But if you don't have that, man, it's just a scary thing. So we're working on that constantly. And we're also now, like you mentioned, now in Ramadan, this is where you got the whole car wax, the heart wax. Now this is supposed to be where we're taking it to a whole nother level. Because yes, absolutely, we get affected with a lot of the things that are out there. It's just damaging. Yeah.
When you think about organizations you can trust, it's based on making a real difference to the people that they're meant to serve. I support Watan UK because their programs lift Syrians out of misery. They've just constructed two new villages for internally displaced people in Kafr Jalis, which is an Idlib sub-district. These new camps, they have schools, clinics, decent accommodation, real sanitation, and educational opportunities for internally displaced children and adults. You can support the continued running of these services right now by going to watan.org.uk. May Allah bless you.
And many of us get desensitized to things that we don't even think that it's bringing harm to us. We become so desensitized, and now you ended up letting a lot of this stuff come into the mind. I call it the STDs, the spiritually transmitted diseases. They're affecting us. It's horrible. Yeah.
Fasting at the end of the day is for Allah Ta'ala. Did you know that prayers are for us? All right. They get rid of our sins. We're lucky to have them. Yeah. But fasting, when you feel it's hard, do you know why? Because it's meant to be difficult. It's not meant to be easy. What do you say about that, Brother Eddie? That, you know, do you ever feel it's quite difficult? Do you struggle some days?
I've actually given up, almost given up breakfast. So for some time now. So I kind of trained myself I've been doing the fasting, developing it, up until Ramadan. So it's become a little bit easier. I've started to eat less. Eat more towards the end of the days. But yeah, absolutely, because people who are addicted to caffeine and also the sugar, it's like a drug. So now headaches start kicking in. When you look at what's going on with the body, you're also detoxing your body also. Now a lot of these toxic things that are in our body are starting to come out. And you see, when someone in the beginning stages, while your body's adjusting, it can be very painful. It can be very difficult. That's one of the things. You don't want to go backwards. So, and also you want to reap the most benefits. So I talked about earlier when anything that is good for you now in this deen, sometimes you have to suffer a little bit for the growth. So it might hurt a little bit, but there's tremendous benefits that are going to come from all of this. Some people don't want to pray. So, but we know prayer, when you get into it, you're going to reap the benefits. It's going to come. Fasting, same thing. It's like, why am I? So you have to have a good foundation. Also, you have to know who you're fasting for. You don't want to be just like a robot, because many people just go through the motions and give up food, but you want really want to develop that love for your creator, and that's through knowledge, through the proper knowledge. You have to, you know, to know your creator, to love your creator, you have to know your creator. You have to now spend time with his book, the Quran, and studying the life of the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad. It's based on evidence and proof. And this is what convinced me. It wasn't something blind faith. You know, I looked at it like yourself also. With your stories, I mean, people, they look at the different ways of life and they come to know that these are man-made religions. That just doesn't add up. But Islam adds up. It's something simple to understand. You know, when you talk about simplicity, I'll give you the opposite, something that's convoluted. Tax code is convoluted. Attorney lingo is convoluted, right? But Islam is not convoluted. It's simple. It's easy to understand. So now going back to what I was saying is that, it can be a little bit trying, but with those who have experienced it and they come through it, it becomes easier. Now it becomes like, you know, you trained your body and you'll be amazed at what your body can go through. But you don't want to also now, as your body's detoxing also, you're spiritually growing, also you're reaping the health benefits. You don't want to start putting garbage in your body because now you're detoxing and you're putting the garbage, the toxins back in your body. So you want to eat real food, avoid the fake food, you know, eat the good tayyibat food that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And so you can really reap both the spiritual and the health benefits. This is out of Allah. It's amazing. It's in Allah's mercy that we get the best of both. One of my black belts, my cousin actually, it was midday. And one of the other students saw someone going into his car. So then they told him, hey, someone's in your car. He says, no way. So then he went out there and then he caught the guy. He caught him. It was a young man. I think he was under 20, almost 20. And he grabbed him, put him on the ground. And then the police came. And then he decided to just give him a chance, let him go. And that was then that was picked up by the news media. And then they reported on it. So that was something that was very interesting because he wanted to show him some mercy because he didn't want that to go on his record. He didn't want that to tomorrow. So he had a talk with him and I think he connected with the boy's father and he talked. And so he took this approach. Yeah. But this goes back into also during these times And all times we should be. I've been talking a lot more about health. We also have fitness, self defense, and so we're well rounded in all these areas. You know, one, we're grounded in our deen. We know it. We live it. We're human beings. We're going to make mistakes, but we remember that as Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is saying in chapter 3 of the Quran, ayah 185, "Kullu nafsin dha'ikatul maut," that every soul will taste death, and that. Reading that should have us to really reflect and ponder, like, hold on, you know, why am I here for this short amount of time? And then you come to know this life is a test. We're here for that short amount of time that we're being tested. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that I've not created life and death except to test which of you are best indeed. So now you're racing towards good, being a good human being.
Alhamdulillah. Allah bless you, Brother Eddie.
We know just by look at the optimism of Islam, like it's just amazing that the Prophet ﷺ said that if the day of judgment was to come upon you and you had a sapling in your hand, plant it, right? Plant it. If to save yourself and your family, look, from the hellfire, like even just by save yourself from the hellfire, just even by giving half a date, right? Just give something, just whatever you have, like give it. You're not losing it, but you're actually gaining with Allah in this life and the hereafter. It reminds me of the Prophet ﷺ said, take advantage of five before five, your youth before your old age, your wealth before poverty. So now is an opportunity where while you have some wealth, you know, to get rich with Allah, you give that wealth, you know, for the sake of Allah. And then your free time before you're busy. Again, now Allah has freed you up. You have some before things. You come out of this lockdown and just right back into the rat race, right back, and then you forget. So now you're like our brother Willem Ott, the one who accepted. I have this program up, inshallah, this week. It was amazing that, again, because of the coronavirus, equals calm down, life is like I'm locked down, And now things, the hustle and bustle of life is not like it is. It's calm. And he ponders things. He accepts Islam. He starts to think, you have an opportunity now. Everything is calm. Okay, before the tides kick in again, a perfect opportunity. And then the Prophet said, life before death. You know, again, you're alive. We have life. Death is around the corner. You just don't know. I mean, here in America, 3 million people die a year, 7,000 a day. And now, even though your chances, you know, realistically, with the whole corona, we take the precautions, we do everything, but death for us should be something that we're, besides coronavirus and everything, I believe it's like 98% of people recover, you know. But even that, I mean, Allah tells us that by Allah's permission can a soul depart this life. So we have to be, but that doesn't, we don't become arrogant to the point that we're not thinking and worrying about death. And we worry about the death is like, okay, am I prepared now? Did I give enough? Did I pay my zakat? Am I praying 5 times a day? Am I obeying my creator? Am I pleasing my creator before I meet my creator? Now you could go ahead and inshallah, you can feel some confidence and you can expect good of Allah. But now if you're not praying, you're not giving, you're miserly, all these things, and now you're just like heedless, then that's going to be a problem. Then the last one, health before sickness. And now we have the spiritual health. We get to revive it during Ramadan, and also the physical health, very important.
We're very grateful that you joined us, and we make du'as for you and your family, the people in Chicago, to have ease after hardship, and for you to have the highest of Jannat al-Fardus for your duty and your kindness. Ummah, may Allah bless you. Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Jazakallah. Salaam alaikum.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to visit watan.org.uk to support Syrians in need.